Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The April 4th election will give city voters a chance to fund or not fund Metrolink expansion and a downtown soccer stadium. The choices are among several ballot propositions. We'll take a look at two of them today, two more tomorrow. Among those, on today's agenda, a proposition to consolidate two St. Louis City offices. We'll be talking about Proposition A a little bit later after a closer look at Proposition 2. It would increase the use tax by half cent to help fund construction of a new downtown soccer stadium and be used for minority job training and business development. It's a controversial proposal, primarily because of the soccer connection. Joining me in studio are 15th Ward Alderman Megan Green. She opposes Proposition 2. Fellow Alderman Jack Coder of the 7th Ward is a proponent. Thank you both for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thanks, Don.
Jack, in as much as you are a proponent of this, I'll start with you with the basics. What are you supporting it and why?
Well, I'm supporting it because I think this town has a rich soccer tradition and history, and I think there's certainly a desire to have a pro soccer team here. I know we all, after losing the Rams and our pro football team over a year ago, that was a real blow to the community. And it is nice to see an ownership group and some folks that really want to bring some entertainment back to St. Louis, and I think this facility and this pro soccer team is an opportunity, kind of a shot in the arm for us. It's not going to be a panacea and fix everything that you know is wrong with St. Louis, but it's certainly something positive and entertainment that I think people are interested in.
Megan, your thoughts in being against it?
I think that, you know, a couple of things. First and foremost, you know, it doesn't matter if you are conservative or liberal or a university and what your standings are. All of the research on publicly funded sports stadiums is pretty much unanimous in that these are never good investments for taxpayers. What we are talking about with this is diverting $4 million in use tax money if Prop 1 is approved. We would be diverting that to a soccer stadium rather than using it for its intended use, which is for public housing, for public health, and for public safety. And I think all of us can agree that those are things that we do not fund at the levels that we need to fund right now. And we have a lot of needs in St. Louis. And although, you know, a soccer stadium would be wonderful to have, and I do agree that we do have folks who really would benefit and like to go to soccer games here, I think we just have other needs that money really needs to be used for.
A couple of things I'd like to clarify from the get-go. Number one, Megan, would you tell us exactly what a use tax is? I'm not sure that everybody knows what it is.
So a use tax is basically a tax on businesses. It was authorized back in 2001. So anytime we raised the sales tax, like we would do with the economic development tax, that's what's on Prop 1. If we authorize Prop 1, then the use tax would increase in that same half cent amount. And it's not a tax, though, that individuals are paying. It's a tax that businesses are paying.
Yeah. Jack, if I could add, use tax, and that's correct. Then the use tax is actually a tax on tangible goods purchased by businesses outside of the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. So if a business, say, in downtown St. Louis has a product that they use for their business that they purchase in Paducah, Kentucky, well, in lieu of paying sales tax on that product, they pay a use tax. And it corresponds with the sales tax. So an increase in the sales tax means there's going to be a corresponding increase in the use tax.
So the average citizen is not paying for this.
Correct.
That is correct. The use tax is not paid by individuals.
Okay. Here's where it gets complicated, and Jack, I'll start with you on this. The reference to Proposition 1. I mean, this is an intricate little dance that is going on here between these two propositions. Explain, Jack, how this all would work.
Certainly. So Proposition 1, which will be before the voters on April 4th, and Proposition 2 are somewhat linked. Proposition 1 is a proposition to raise the sales tax in the city of St. Louis by 0.5%. And that would be that the money raised from that would fund part of the Metrolink expansion effort, the city's matching portion of the Metrolink expansion. The other half would be used for various economic development and safety initiatives. Now, if the voters approve Proposition 1 for the Metrolink expansion and the sales tax goes up, there is an automatic, under state law, increase in the use tax. Now, what we are asking the voters with Proposition 2 is, do you want to take that increase in the use tax, which is approximately $4 million a year, do you want to spend that $4 million $5 million towards the city's portion of a multi-use professional soccer stadium in the city of St. Louis. So they can vote yes on one to raise the sales tax, and then they will be asked, okay, if you're raising the sales tax, do you want to vote to spend the increase in the use tax on the soccer stadium? So you can vote yes on two for that. You can vote yes on one and no on two, but you can't vote no on one and yes on two.
Why in the world is it being done this way? I mean, I can't believe that there are too many people out there who may get this connection.
You know, what I think it comes down to is a timing issue. I mean, I know that we have an ownership group that very much is trying to get an MLS team here, and they need to find some kind of funding mechanism. And the use tax is probably an easier mechanism to get voters to wrap their heads around with a new funding stream than going after bonds or, you know, I know that there was a number of different financing mechanisms that were looked at. But I think, you know, long and short of it is we are asking if we can divert in $4 million of new revenue away from public housing, from public health, and from public safety. And those are needs that we have in the city. We have not fully funded the Affordable Housing Trust Fund for the last 5 years. We have some of the highest STD rates in the entire country. We have some of the highest crime rates in the entire country. To me, those are all very critical needs that this money could go and support.
What happens if Proposition 1 fails?
Then Proposition 2 automatically fails.
I talk about an intricate dance.
Yes.
Jack, you're laughing. I mean, you're even finding this
a little bit crazy. I've watched people's eyes glaze over when I try to explain this at neighborhood meetings. It is complicated that the two are so inextricably linked, and also just trying to explain what a use tax is to people because most folks are not familiar with that. Everyone knows what a sales tax is. You pay it every day and every time you buy any goods, you know, in the store. But the use tax is a little more complicated, and explain the difference between the two has been a challenge, I would say.
Well, you know, there's another wrinkle in this whole thing, and that is the fact that the state is going to have to turn over the property on which the stadium would be built. Hasn't done that yet.
No, they have not. Now, it is clear as day in the agreement, in the financing agreement that was passed by the Board of Aldermen before we went on break, I guess, in February, that the state participation is essential. Without state participation, this project doesn't happen. So voters could approve this, in 2 weeks. And if they do approve it, but the state then doesn't participate, whether it's giving the land a low interest lease on the land, remediating the land, then the project will not go forward. I mean, that is in the financing agreement.
I mean, I think this speaks to a bigger issue, though, about, you know, regional and state collaboration. I mean, St. Louis City is routinely being asked to carry the burden of these projects without county participation, with, you know, a governor who has, you know, not been very amenable to spending taxpayer money on stadiums. It's probably
the
one.
It's
probably the one and only issue I agree with the governor on. But we can't continue to go alone on these issues. We bear the brunt of that. We bear the brunt of homelessness for the region. We've got to start looking at these things as regional issues and recognizing that we can't always be the ones asking to buck up just at the city.
Jack, do you have the sense that a lot of people do that, and Megan has suggested this, that there is a stadium fatigue going on in this community? I mean, we go back over this again and again and again. People don't seem to like the idea of taxpayer money going to build these things for millionaires.
Right. And I get that. And there certainly is some fatigue. But at the same time, people enjoy going to sporting events. You know, the public money was used for the financing of the newest Busch Stadium. Obviously, it was used for the Dome. There was a long conversation about whether or not public money should be used for the NFL stadium we were talking about. And unfortunately, we're in a place where, in a perfect world, yes, this would be a regional effort, or probably in a more perfect world, we'd be in a place where you cannot use tax-free municipal bonds for public stadiums for these kinds of projects. But that's not the case. That would take, you know, Congress to do something, and they have shown no interest in doing that at this point. And so I look at this like St. Louis City and our region is competing against peer cities, right? We're competing against Nashville. We're competing against Memphis. We're competing against Indianapolis. All these cities have shown a willingness. Hell, heck, even Kansas City has shown a willingness to spend public funds for these types of amenities that people really do enjoy. Mm-hmm. Now, we can put our foot down and be the ones that say, no, we're not going to do this. But we do that at the expense of not having the types of amenities that do attract people, especially young people, to your cities. And I think that's an important part of this conversation.
And I, you know, I don't disagree with that. I think that we should be competing with these other cities. But I think the way we compete with them is by having good health care outcomes, by having low crime rates, by having affordable housing, things that really do strengthen communities and strengthen the people who live here. When we're looking at people who attend soccer games or who can afford to go to an NFL game, these are largely middle and upper class folks. And the use tax money would go, if not for a stadium, to really support the most vulnerable in our community. So we're really asking to divert money from the lowest income, most need populations in our city, and giving that to help support, you know, the wants, not the needs, of folks who are more affluent in our community. And I just think that that is not a good use of taxpayer money.
And I think it's important to note that we're not diverting any existing funds. So the use tax, which currently funds a number of issues of affordable housing and health and the things that Megan has mentioned, that funding's not going away. Those will be continue to be funded at the same levels unless there's some change in, I suppose, the budget. But we're talking about the incremental increase in the use tax. If it goes up, we are simply asking the voters of the city, do you want to spend this increase on the MLS stadium? So we're actually asking the people. So, I mean, we'll know soon enough if this is something they're in favor of.
We have to point out, though, I mean, we're looking right now at a $20 million possible budget shortfall for next year. And if you go through, you know, the Democratic nominee's platform, who just won the Democratic primary, that could easily increase to a $31 million budget shortfall. And so more than likely, that use tax money is not going to be used to expand public health, to expand affordable housing. It's going to be used to fill budget gaps that already exist. And we have to be real about that.
We talked a moment ago about what happens if Proposition 1 fails. What happens if it passes and Proposition 2 fails?
Then that $4 million a year will go into affordable housing, public health, and public safety.
Through the normal budgetary process.
Correct.
I mean, so it will go through the Board of Estimate Apportionment, the Budget Director, the Board of Aldermen. Ultimately, we'll make those decisions.
We are talking about soccer, but there are other elements to this as well that nobody's talking about. Right?
There are. In fact, this week we unveiled a community benefits agreement, one of the first of its kind in a major public-private partnership development deal of this nature. And this was something that was pushed very hard by the primary sponsor of the legislation, my colleague Christine Ingracia, and was something that we heard from our colleagues at the Board of Aldermen they really wanted to see in this agreement, in this financing deal. So what the ownership group said they would do is they said, look, we will do more than just lip service and promise disadvantaged communities that this will be beneficial to them. What we will do is we will put it in writing. We will make it binding. So this week we released a community benefits agreement that basically spells out the ownership group's commitment to bringing soccer to disadvantaged neighborhoods, to neighborhoods that really have no access or, you know, really, yeah, they don't have soccer currently. I mean, if you look at where is St. Louis or where is soccer played primarily in this region, it's played in Catholic parishes in South St. Louis and in the county. It is not played very much in North St. Louis. And so this is an opportunity to bring not only soccer to some of these neighborhoods, but also job training and workforce development. And what the ownership group has agreed to do if this proposition passes, much like at Busch Stadium, where you have a St. Louis Area on Training and Employment office on site, the MLS group has agreed to have a Slate office at their site, a job training office there on site. So what we hope to do is not only have jobs at the stadium, but help develop a workforce who can, you know, move from one construction job, helping build this stadium, straight to another one. So we're helping to create careers, not just temporary jobs.
And I think that it's – I want to commend, actually, Alderwoman Ingracia and Jack for working on a community benefits agreement. It's something, you know, I've talked a lot about at the board with these projects. And I think it's a good first step. I also think that this community benefit agreement was light on a lot of details and a lot of things that you do see in other community benefit agreements associated with stadiums or similar projects in other states. I mean, when we look at it, it doesn't really seem as though a lot of these benefits are anything above and beyond what a normal sports team would have in terms of their public engagement and their philanthropic efforts to the community. And what we really need to be looking at is above and beyond that. I think I saw in it that there was only they were only promising 8 annual visits to local schools. To me, that's not enough. And so, you know, I think this was a great starting point for community benefits agreements, and I hope this becomes the norm. And I think that we have to definitely strengthen what is in them going forward to ensure that we're getting that, you know, if not the full $4 million, but a large portion of that really benefiting the community. Because even with this benefit, I do think that that $4 million is better spent with, you know, public health on affordable housing and public safety.
We have a caller here I'd like to bring in at this point because it raises an issue, I believe, that I'd like to get your response to. Gary is joining us from St. Louis. Gary, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, this is a bit of a comment and a question at the same time. I don't understand why the city is stuck with the football stadium, and that cannot be converted into a soccer stadium. It's something that the city has to keep paying upkeep on. And why couldn't soccer just buy that, do the upgrades, tear off an end of the building so that they've got an open air stadium, and instead of taking up more ground and more tax money for something like that? I mean, I understand professional soccer has certain requirements, but if they want to promote soccer, let them bow a little bit and cut down their requirements a bit, and we've already have an excellent unit there. That was my question comment.
Thanks, Gary.
If I could, and actually this option was explored, because we obviously do still have the dome sitting there, and it is not just the city that's paying for the dome. The state of Missouri is paying $12 million annually, the county and the city each paying $6 million. We have looked at the dome in a number of situations. I'm very involved in the convention center and their potential expansion down the road here. The dome is still very much used as part of a convention facility. So when you talk about converting it towards another use, we'd wind up with a facility that really nobody likes, which is sort of what the dome is now. It would continue to be that. Also, what we discovered is when you try to start retrofitting that dome, whether it's chopping off the roof or splitting it in half, it becomes astronomically expensive, more expensive, in fact, than remediating the land and building a new stadium specifically for soccer.
And I think the other important piece to look at is that the dome is in need of significant repairs already. I mean, there's an estimated up to $100 million in renovations that facility needs. And I agree that it should be and continue to be used as part of the convention center. I would like to see that expanded. I would like to see those upgrades because conventions actually do bring positive growth to our region.
Well, I had heard that the configuration of the dome doesn't lend itself to the dimensions of a soccer field anyway. Is that
the actual field in the former Edward Jones Dome, I don't know what we're calling it now, is big enough.
Scott Drain Center.
That's changing names soon as well. The field's big enough to play soccer. And in fact, we have hosted some exhibition major soccer events there. But Major League Soccer has pretty specific requirements. I mean, they want smaller facilities. This is a 20,000-seat facility we're talking about with the ability to expand it to about 26,000 because you kind of do want people closer to the action and that sort of condensed feel.
Megan, let me put this to you because there are a lot of people in this community who ballyhoo soccer, and there's great soccer community and all the rest of it. But most of the soccer efforts in this city that I can recall over the last 25 or 30 years have failed. There's enthusiasm for it, but it's not supported by people buying tickets.
I mean, I think that we have the possibility of it being, especially as we grow our immigrant population. I mean, we're seeing a substantial, or at least we were prior to the Trump administration, we were seeing, you know, a large influx of immigrants and refugees into our community. And I represent one of those communities, and I know a lot of, my constituents.
The Bosnians.
Right. Go to soccer games, do like to buy those tickets. The problem is, you know, can they afford it, number one? And number two, it still doesn't take away from the fact that we have these other needs that are greater. And we are essentially asking to subsidize a project for millionaires and billionaires who are going to make money off of this. They'll come forth, you know, Kavanaugh's and the peacocks of the world will, you know, swear up and down that they're not really making money off these things. But I don't think they'd be coming to us if they weren't in it for some kind of profit.
And they're making a full court press right now, Jack.
They certainly are. And I would respectfully disagree with the assertion that soccer efforts have failed. I mean, in the last few years, Busch Stadium has hosted several World Cup. They've hosted a men's World Cup qualifier. They've hosted a women's national team game. Both of those sold out. The exhibition games that we've had between Premier League teams in the Edward Jones Dome have sold out. The St. Louis Football Club, which is basically our sort of minor league team, their attendance is great and they're doing very well. I think there is certainly a want. It is going to come down to do the voters want to put their money where their mouth is and spend tax dollars on this.
It could be argued, I suppose, that these are special events and would draw large crowds. But let's not get into that debate because I think there's plenty of other things to talk about. Let me bring in George calling from Lafayette Square and see what he has to say. George, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, how's it going, Ron? Thanks for having me on again. Look, I just want to thank one of your guests for pointing out that, you know, making a switch from one for the Dome being football convention to soccer is not being one-to-one. I think that's a mistake that a lot of people are making. And I also remember that during the schedules for the Rams that there would be a lot of like budding in terms of the Edward Jones Dome would actually lose money because when they do convention events they use the entire facility. So because of the Rams being there they would lose a lot of money. But I also want to ask very quickly, are they going to try to build any relationships with the businesses that are actually involved in the soccer community? Like there's Veta Sports indoor facility, maybe try to get Veta Sports to expand or maybe generate another facility for indoor within like the immediate downtown area since all those places are on the outskirts of town. That's about it. Thank you very much again.
All right. Thanks for the call. Who'd like to take that?
I haven't been involved in any of those types of conversations, I'll be honest.
And it's funny. I'm involved in this effort, and I was a co-sponsor of legislation. My knowledge of soccer is very limited. So, I mean, look, obviously if this project comes to fruition, if we get an MLS team, you know, I think that will further grow soccer in our region. So I can't speak to the specifics that George asked, but I do think that, you know, yes, if this facility is built, if we have a pro team, that will certainly drive an even bigger interest in soccer in the city.
We have a tweet here from Stacy who writes, disgusted that it was all county people handing out Proposition 1 and 2 flyers at the polls on March 7th, saying, you city people, in effect, build us a stadium. Well, taking that you mentioned, Megan, earlier.
I mean, I've heard that pushback a lot. I mean, I was out at a poll for 13 hours on Election Day and shared it with a number of, you know, vote yes on 1 and 2 folks, and none of them knew anything about the 15th Ward or our community. And so I think it's hard to go in and try to sell something when you're not a part of that community.
We have another tweet here from Hannah who writes, if soccer is so great, why can't it work privately? We are told art should make its own funding. Why can't sports, Jack?
Well, I mean, ultimately, I mean, look, the ownership group has been pretty upfront with this. They say the franchise fee is about $150 million. They're going to put in another $100 million towards a stadium. They're asking for basically public participation in the tune of $50 million, maybe a little bit more. They don't think they can make the numbers work without that. And that's why we are taking this to the voters to ask them if this is something they're interested in. So folks will have an opportunity to voice their opinion on April 4th. I hope they'll vote in favor of it. I think it's a good project. But I certainly do understand the argument our friend on Twitter there made. And that's one of the reasons we've taken this to the voters. I mean, you know, we learned a lesson last time we tried to look at spending public funds on a stadium. There was some big pushback about whether or not this should be a public vote. And that's why we are here today.
Right. Well, if it doesn't pass, if it doesn't happen, are we through with this for a while? Do you think? I mean, by this, asking public to fund sports enterprises.
I mean, I think we're seeing a national trend away from doing this. I expect eventually we will see federal legislation that clarifies what the use of municipal bonds can be used for, to say that it particularly cannot be used on sports stadiums. In this case, we're not really, you know, dealing with with that aspect. But I think the appetite for this is people are tired of it. They want their trash picked up. They want their streets paved. They want, safe communities. They want healthy communities. And they don't want to be paying for pet projects for people who have, net worth of $100+ million. And that's what we're doing right now.
Of course, you have a downtown ward, so there's not that many people, I guess, that are coming to you.
I do. So I represent downtown Lafayette Square, Soulard. Mm-hmm. The 7th Ward currently sees great benefit from the sports facilities. In fact, Scott Trade Center, Busch Stadium, even the Dome are in this convention center are all in the 7th Ward.
Right.
This would be just outside. But, I see the activity and the excitement around sporting events on an almost daily basis. When the Blues are in town or the Cardinals, heck, even when they're out of town, people are in the bars and restaurants in my district spending money and excited and watching the game, and it is a sense of community.
Is there any number that's ever been put out with regard to what this would mean economically to the city in terms of funds that would be generated?
There is. So Missouri Wonk did a study that is available online that says basically over the life of this project, which is a 30-year span, this is estimated to generate $77 million net present value at a cost of about – we're talking about a cost of less than – somewhere a little north of $50 million. So it is going to be, if it's built, the projections show it will be a net positive for the city.
Yeah. And I will say that I think a lot of those projections are a little bit too rosy. When they look at the sales tax projections, they're projecting it at a growth of 2.5% per year, which is way above the inflationary rate that we see right now. I think that their ticket sales and their attendance rates are also above average for what you see for other similar type facilities. And I would, when we're putting these together, I think it's better to be safe and cautious on what your projections are rather than optimistic. And I think the research shows us that time and time again, these rosy projections do not add up for cities.
Our time is winding down. Jack, let me give you a chance to just summarize, and then we'll do the same with Megan. Your final pitch for this.
Great. Thanks, Don. And thanks for having us today. Look, voters have a choice on April 4th, and I think that the choice should be, of course, I think everyone's in agreement we want to expand Metrolink. And so I'm hopeful that voters will vote yes on Proposition 1 to expand Metrolink and help some of our disadvantaged neighborhoods, that they will also consider voting yes on Prop 2. I think this Major League Soccer stadium could be a big shot in the arm for our community. I think it's something that would be really exciting and put us sort of back on the stage. It would be a big win for us after a tough couple of years. So I would encourage people to vote yes on 1 and 2.
All right, Megan?
And I will say, I encourage folks to vote yes on 1. I definitely, see the benefits in Metrolink expansion. But when it comes to 2, we've got to vote no. And the reason we have to do that is because $4 million a year would be going to a stadium rather than going to public health when we know that we have the highest STD rates in the country. The For Sake of All report out of WashU has documented over and over and over again a lot of the health issues that we need to solve at a city and regional basis. Affordable housing trust fund hasn't been fully funded, and we are constantly on the national news for our crime rates. All three of those things are far more important than building a stadium. So please vote no, and instead vote for a future where we have affordable housing, we have safer communities, and we have healthier communities.
Well, let's hope we have a good turnout on April 4th. That's
agreed.
Important, too.
Yes. Agreed.
That's been a disappointment over the years, but
right.
Perhaps it'll be different this time. Thank you very much. 15th Ward Alderman,
Megan Green,
great to see you. Thanks for being with us. And Jack Kodar, thank you for being with us as well from the 7th Ward to explain Proposition 2. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.